Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Floor fight. The only thing better would have been a food fight in the cafeteria.
That's right.
Between members of Congress. They've got that special congressional cafeteria. I've eaten there before. It's cool. Nancy Pelosi broke House rules and lied. But then generally, if her lips are moving, she's lying.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's not new. Yeah. Nancy Pelosi is the Democrat leader of the House. She's the speaker. And the House, according to the House rules, you're not supposed to personally denigrate anybody. You can take issue with people's facts on issues, but you're not supposed to personally denigrate anybody.
Right.
Nancy Pelosi did yesterday. Mm-hmm. And she said, I got these remarks cleared with the House parliamentarian. She didn't.
No.
But you know, she lies all the time. I mean, she's got people firebombing ICE, stations by telling them that, ICE is illegally arresting people, asylees who, aren't breaking the law and just ejecting them because they're brown. Well, no, they did break the law. You can't come here illegally. I mean, she's telling people that, you know, they are being arrested just for being brown since they're not breaking the law. I mean, so, you know, once you've got people firebombing facilities because of your lies, I mean, you know, lying about having gotten your remarks approved by the parliamentarian so they're okay is just a small step. So she did. And she did this to make a dramatic statement about the extreme racism, I'm sure, of Donald Trump. Here's how that went yesterday.
These comments from the White House are disgraceful and disgusting, and these comments are racist. Every single member of this institution, Democratic and Republican, should join us in condemning the president's racist tweets.
But Speaker Pelosi herself got into some hot water over those comments. A Republican congressman from Georgia accused the speaker of violating House rules and challenged her on those comments on the floor.
We take it. Can I ask the words to be taken down? I make a point of order. The gentlewoman's words are unparliamentary and ready to be taken down.
The chair will remind all members, please, please do not make personality-based comments.
Democratic leaders later agreed Pelosi's comments were out of line, but that did not stop the resolution against the president from passing. Four Republicans and one independent joined Democrats in voting to condemn President Trump.
So there we go. What do you think?
This is just a political stunt. That's all this is. This is getting nothing done as usual. This is once again another lie that's being told about President Trump. There was nothing racist in what he has said. He's talking about policy. He never named these people individually, although we all know who he's talking about. And once again, there is nothing racist about the comment. You can choose to be offended if you want to be because he opposes the policies that these people are trying to inflict on this country. But there's nothing racist about what he said or what he has done, period. Not in this circumstance, not in this situation, didn't happen. And as usual, we have got Democrats in the left-wing media going off on a lie about President Trump, just like the whole collusion obstruction of justice lie that we've dealt with for 2 years. This is nothing more than more politics of division that's being done by the Democrat Party and the left-wing media to try to divide Trump from his base and run him out of office. That's all this is, period. I mean, this absolutely does nothing to improve this country or the situation that we're in.
Nope. Nothing whatsoever. And you know what's ironic is that, I mean, just last week, Nancy Pelosi criticized the squad and in a way that was not racist. And she was called a racist herself. I mean, so Pelosi did exactly what Trump did, ironically, a week ago, which was criticize the four. And so when Pelosi does it, they call her a racist, but nobody else does. When Trump does it, they call him a racist. And Pelosi's like, yeah.
And am I mistaken?
It's so funny.
Didn't Trump also actually make a comment that what she said wasn't racist?
Yes.
I think that Trump actually defended the Speaker of the House against the racist accusations from her own party.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now.
I mean, to be clear, for those of you just, you know, tuning in or kind of lost on this, the way the media has been reporting this is to say that Trump made racist comments because he told women, these four women, to go home. If he had told all the Hispanic women in the Democrat caucus to go home, that might be one thing. Mm-hmm. But he did not. He singled out these four women because of their hateful rhetoric toward America. And then he said, go home, fix your countries that you came mm-hmm. from. Tell us how, and then come back and tell us how you did it. That's the whole tweet. And Howard Kurtz last night, who's a liberal himself on Fox News, you know, made a great point. If you look at the way all these headlines are being written, I have one right here from CNN, you know, Speaker responds to Trump's racist comments. They're not reporting. This is editorial. I mean, normally the way this used to be reported, even like 15 years ago, is comments some find offensive or comments some say are racist. They're skipping that entirely, going straight to editorial and just dubbing them as racist. So we now have the media qualified to decide what is racist right. and what is not. That is not unbiased journalism. That's editorial.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly frustrating to hear the spin on this. Told them to go home, racist, well, and then come back and tell us how it's done. They leave that part out.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's really frustrating. Even more frustrating, Lee, I'm beginning to wonder if, you know, different factions in Congress, as happens in countries that are in the middle of a civil war or a coup, I'm wondering if different factions in Congress are just going to have their own armed guerrilla groups. Is that where we're going now?
Well, apparently the left does.
Well, they do. Yeah, they have their own armed guerrilla army now, as they have in many of the left-wing attempts to overthrow the government around the world, a lot of them in Central America.
I mean, what's the difference between Antifa and the brown shirts of the Nazis?
Nothing.
And the Taliban going around beating women for not wearing a proper hijab or something or other? I see no difference.
They use the language of terror groups, too. Three separate Antifa groups, and Sean King, who's the head of Black Lives Matter, praised the terrorist, the left-wing terrorist in Washington state who firebombed the parking lot of the ICE facility in an attempt to get people to come outside so he could kill them. He intended to kill these people working at the ICE facility. He ended up instead opening fire on, as you said yesterday, the law enforcement officers in an attempt to kill them. Fortunately, they were able to kill him first. That is absolutely an unqualified terror attack. There's nothing else you could say about it. And now three Antifa groups and the head of Black Lives Matter are calling him Antifa's first martyr. This was all over Twitter yesterday. They pronounced him their first martyr and called for many more. That is classic terrorist group speak. Yeah. I mean, these are the exact terms ISIS uses, that he is a martyr for the glorious cause and all of that. So that Antifa just praised their first martyr after the attack on the ICE detention facility and called for more. I mean, how this group is not a terror group. And it is amazing, stunning. I wrote yesterday on Facebook, Lee, it is the second most shocking thing I've ever seen in politics after Trump's election, that you literally had AOC and Representative Ilhan Omar yesterday refusing to condemn this Antifa terror attack. Right. It was stunning. I think about this 10 years ago, the leadership of either party would have condemned a member who mm-hmm. refused to condemn a terror group like that,
yeah.
a terror attack on our soil. They would have been drummed out of politics. I mean, I would dare say that it would be a decade ago. That would be political suicide. Today, it's like, eh. Whatever.
Well, it's a resume enhancer for
yeah.
liberals.
So, I mean, I'm literally wondering, that's what happens. I was talking about the civil war in Argentina in Buenos Aires yesterday, that they end up being different factions attached to different political groups, and they go kill each other in the streets. It's what a civil war looks like. Well, I mean, it appears to me now Democrats have an armed faction that they are A-okay with the operations those folks are doing when they commit terror attacks on our soil.
Well, And I just find it mildly ironic that you have the left, which is always wanting bigger and more government control.
Mm-hmm.
You've got their terrorists attacking government organizations.
I know.
The very people who were critical of President Trump criticizing federal agencies and agency directors is now attacking agencies.
Yeah. This is a retired Colonel Bob Maness yesterday. He's very decorated former member of our military. Colonel Bob Maness yesterday tweeted this after Antifa praised this guy as their first martyr. Here's what he tweeted. These are facts. Hashtag Antifa terrorists are now attacking U.S. government facilities. And he was saying, how are we allowing a terrorist group to operate on our, you know, on our soil and claim martyrs? They're claiming martyrs now. I mean, I can't wrap my mind around it.
Well,
and I mean, the Democrats will not condemn that. That is tacit approval. That is what that is. They get it. They know the Democrats like it. They want to be the armed guerrilla group that operates for the Democrat Party. They're thrilled with it. Well, and everybody gets what's going on here.
They've got a history of dealing with terrorist groups. Look what they do with the PLO. The left has always been a big fan of the Palestinian effort there and an enemy of Israel. You know, I mean, what's the difference? I mean, you know, look at what the Iranian nuclear deal. They were perfectly willing to take a nation that is a state sponsor of terror, yeah, as declared by Democrat administrations, and then pay them cash and pay them under the table and allow a deal that allows them to continue to develop their nuclear weapons and just wait a couple of years. And then you can buy the missiles to launch them at Israel or anyone else that you consider to be an enemy that you want to wipe off the face of the earth, as you have said many times. So Democrats are perfectly happy to deal with terrorist organizations. You know, nothing new.
By the way, I mean, it's just so stunning that that this left-wing terrorist directly quoted AOC in calling the ICE facility a concentration camp in justifying in his manifesto the attack on it. I mean, that only came from her. It's not murky where that came from. And yet she's getting away with it.
And a place that has existed for decades, a policy that was in place during the 8 years of the Obama administration, nothing really has changed. And yet when it's Donald Trump who is the president, it's a concentration camp.
Yeah. And terror attacks are A-OK on American soil. They are
A-OK with AOC.
A-OK. Yeah, that was awesome. A-OK with AOC. I may steal that from you. Is that OK?
Sure. No problem.
All right.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's jump on the Ingalls Advantage Talk Line, 800-347-1063, to talk to Doug in Anderson. Hey, Doug.
Hey, good morning, Tara. Hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
Hey, you know, I understand as far as AOC and all them not condemning Antifa, but I'm also hearing the Republican Party say nothing. We have the quietest Republican Party I remember in years. They don't stand up for anything when it comes to any sort of getting back at people or calling them out. They say nothing. Trump is the only one.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And did you see the press conference yesterday where the Republicans came out? I half expected the Republican leadership to condemn Trump as a racist. They didn't do that.
I expected that also.
Yeah, I was very nervous watching it. And they actually, it was shocking to see them actually, you know, back him. I was pleasantly surprised. So I want to praise them for that. Normally they just let him hang out there and hope he gets beaten and that the House remains in Democrat hands. That has been the goal of the Republican leadership.
They still say nothing about condemning Antifa.
Yes. Bingo.
They say nothing. The last thing I really remember any Republican standing up for was months ago when Lindsey Graham condemned the Democrats in the Kavanaugh hearing. That's the last thing I remember ever hearing.
Isn't it stunning that we have, for instance, our Senator Tim Scott has come out and condemned Trump as a racist, but, yet for those tweets, but yet had nothing to say whatsoever about the Antifa attack where a guy attempted to murder a police officer. I mean, that is stunning. Go ahead.
It's really depressing when it comes to, you know, not hearing our voice for the conservatives.
Well, just for normals. People I just forget the conservative. Normal people aren't for terror attacks on American soil. I dare say a majority of Democrat voters aren't for terror attacks on American soil. I'm certain a majority of independents are not. And yet we have no representation. Hey, let me ask you something, Doug. Why do you think GOP, I just want to hear your theory. You've thought a lot about this, obviously, if you've called the show. Why won't GOP leadership or really anyone on the Republican side in elected office condemn these Antifa attacks publicly? Why do you think that is? I know why, but I want to know why you think it is.
Well, I'm thinking they just want to try to portray themselves as the nice guys However, you still got to stand up and defend yourself, defend your country. That's my opinion. What's yours?
Well, let me tell you what I think is going on here. Let's before we work up to the shocking fact. I mean, they could bury the Democrats. We could bury the Democrats for a generation at the polls. We could put them wandering in the forest if the GOP leadership would simply bring to light what the Democrats are doing and condemn it. And one of the great ones we just had is that literally not a single Democrat presidential candidate or leader will condemn this Antifa attack. Man, they are asking. They're asking to be whooped in a press conference. The American people should be told that. It's shocking. Why won't they? Well, for the same reason that when our Congressman Jeff Duncan proposed legislation that would have removed people on the terror watch list from the country, people who were either here illegally or they were here on visas or expired visas, not even here legally, that bill couldn't even get a vote. When we had another bill to fix all the problems at the border, Paul Ryan, leader of the Republicans, blocked it. Why is all that going on? We have tremendous MS-13 violence in this country. I'm going to tell you one of the things that just happened. A lot of machete murders are beginning to happen in California. The GOP, will they condemn that? No. Why? What does all this have in common? Why won't they speak out against absolutely wild, radical things? The common connection is immigration. And here's another one. Why won't GOP leadership condemn murders by illegal immigrants, drunk driving by illegal immigrants, even sanctuary cities most of the time, for protecting rapists, murderers, pedophiles? They won't do it. Why? Because the biggest financial game going in Washington is the immigration lobby, and it is radical. So radical that if you just want to remove illegal immigrants on the terror watch list, there are over 100,000 of them. If you want to just remove them, that would paint you as an anti-open borders person. And not only are you going to never get money from the biggest donation game in town, they may try to take you out. And so anything you do that signals the slightest bit of concern for your constituents' safety when it regards illegal immigration, you can put yourself on a hit list. They're so terrified. I mean, this is the real gang activity by these donors. Let me give you another example. Woman's husband is an EMT. He's a hero. He and another EMT are coming home from a shift. The ambulance they're in is slammed into by a drunk driving illegal immigrant who kills them both. Judge says, it's a sanctuary city, sir. I'm going to have to let him out. She calls Marco Rubio, the senator, Republican senator, to beg for help. He's big immigration. He's in there with Mitt Romney and Nikki Haley and Tim Scott in that group. That they're very destructive in terms of pro-open borders, right? So this woman calls Marco Rubio and just begs for help, trying to keep this guy from getting out. She's afraid he'll go back to Mexico and that he will never suffer any consequences for the murder of her husband. Rubio's office won't even call her back. Think about that. She then called her own congresswoman, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, no call back. She finally found another Republican congressman in the state who didn't represent her, and he at least would call her back. Tried to do something about it. It's so controversial to go against this open borders donor group that you don't even want to be seen defending one of your constituents whose husband was murdered by an illegal immigrant because of sanctuary city policies that break the law. That's how radical these immigration donors are. And I'm telling you, Ralph Norman was a perfect example. Politico reported that these pro-open borders folks will pump $400,000 to $600,000 into a primary for or against you, depending on how open borders you are. And this is a GOP primary. And that number ended up being exactly correct. It was $600,000 spent against Ralph Norman to try to get Tommy Pope elected because he was their open borders guy. So, I mean, you got to understand how radical this immigration lobby is. So condemning a left-wing terrorist who firebombed an ICE facility, they're not going to like that. That's going to sound anti-open borders to them, and people might want to crack down. So they're no, can't condemn that. That's why, Doug, that's how radical they are. And that's really radical.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Texter writes, let's reorganize. Let's send Jeff Duncan to the Senate. Aye, aye to that. I've been wanting to do that for years. Our senators are largely useless. Lindsey Graham's only useful right now because he's up for re-election. He plays a Republican and a conservative on television. That will end the day that he's re-elected. Texter writes, let's reorganize. Let's send Jeff Duncan to the Senate, Lee Bright to the House, and Lindsey Graham to the unemployment line. Oh, that would be wonderful. Texter writes, the deep state and global woke capitalism love Antifa because they suppress the right from publicly assembling because they don't want trouble. And if or when the right does get physical with Antifa, the authorities get to crack down on white supremacist violence. Yeah, no, it all works great. They love it. Yeah. Meanwhile, we have members of the Border Patrol begging for protection, begging for politicians to condemn the rhetoric so they won't be killed. It's maddening. Here's, we'll start with him. They were all over yesterday. So you got Republican leadership. I could not believe in that press conference they did not condemn AOC or Ilhan Omar for their refusal to condemn the terror attack. I mean, both of them, and we played the audio yesterday, you've probably seen it now in the news, were asked, hey, you know, can't you condemn the Antifa terror attack? The guy wrote a manifesto. He said he did it because they were concentration camps. That's AOC's rhetoric. It couldn't be clearer who caused that terror attack. And they wouldn't do it. Neither of them would condemn. I mean, that's insane. Again, folks, 10 years ago, a member of either party that refused to condemn a terror attack against a government facility on U.S. soil would have been drummed out of their party, would have been condemned by the leadership. They're fine with it. Here's the beginning of the pleas yesterday. They'll go unanswered. This one was from Acting Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Mark Morgan. Please, anybody, Republican leadership, Democrat leadership, please condemn the terror attacks on our soil.
Mark, how dangerous is the new resistance to the basic sense of border enforcement, integrity of our law enforcement?
It's absolutely dangerous. And why is this happening? We know why it's happening, is that the rhetoric that's out there from our own elected leaders are actually the vile rhetoric. They're attacking the men and women of ICE. They're attacking the men and women of CBP. It's unjust. It's unfair. It's misinformed. And outright, sometimes they're just lying to the American people. And it's undoubtedly fueling this.
Well, yeah. Yesterday I asked this question. I want to repeat this in each hour. Are we in a civil war? And you'd be like, nah, we're not in a civil war. There's no armed, organized groups fighting each other on a battlefield. It's what? Americans think a civil war is what? Well, we had the Union versus the Confederacy, and then one side was gray and the other side was blue, and then they fought each other. So no, we're not in that. Well, now are we? Clyde Lewis. Okay, don't laugh. You know, the UFO guy. Ground Zero. The wacky guy. He's pretty nuts. He's been entertaining to listen to on our station, but he's nuts. But every once in a while, he breaks out of that, and he talks about living in Buenos Aires. And I thought this was brilliant. One of our listeners sent it to me, and I read the whole thing. He lived in Buenos Aires for a while. And he said, Americans, he made the argument we're already in a civil war. And he said, you know, Americans don't recognize it because we expect it to be, you know, the grays versus the blue, the Confederacy versus the Union. And we're going to all line up, and we're going to, you know, have a battle. And he said, that's not what a civil war looks like most elsewhere in the world. Will you tell me if this sounds to you when I read it like what's going on here in America? He said, I want to make it clear that during a civil war in modern day Buenos Aires, life was quite normal, except for little things that would make you wonder if you would make it through the day doing routine things. I can imagine that in the United States, a civil war would be similar. And again, he lived in Buenos Aires for a while, so he's talking about the outbreak of that civil war wouldn't look at all different from what the normal news cycle would regularly report at first. It begins with something like a politically motivated mass shooting. We just had this. Well, we've had many of those politically motivating mass shootings, many of them by leftists. This attack on a federal government facility. And the Democrats won't condemn it. This is an attack on them. And they're fine. Another example, he writes, or this is a transcript of his show. Another example would be a biological attack, either in a major city or directed at Congress or the president. It would be something like the anthrax attack in 2001 after the 9/11 attacks, or the ricin attack that happened just before the Kavanaugh vote. Oh, that guy Okay, so there are these are simple politically motivated attacks. These attacks are actually supposed to not only change directions politically, but they are also there to generate copycat attacks. This is exactly what just happened at the ICE facility. These can be both domestic terror attacks and foreign attacks, but the sole purpose is to generate a backlash. They're simply done in order to provoke a response. Bingo. He says, talked about living in Buenos Aires, and he said, you know, look, you would get your coffee in the morning, you get in your car, you go to work. You might hear gunshots a couple of streets away. You might not. And he said, listen, a modern political war would have many so-called sides. He said, when I was in Buenos Aires, this is what it was like. He said, there were several sides that were fighting. There were the Peronists, the Radicals, the Communists, the Nazis, the Catholic Church, the Jews, the Junta, the police, the Madres of the Plaza, and on and on. Each group had their own band of terrorists carrying out executions, abductions, and torture, often of members of the other groups. Other times against those they perceived to oppose them. I mean, folks, this is what's going on. This is the last week. In America, we could have a left-wing group incite violence or insurgency that would spark a response from Black Lives Matter or Me Too. However, all eyes would be on Antifa, as they are usually behind violent attacks. He nailed this. By the way, he said this months ago. So, I mean, this is where we are. This is exactly what the Civil War in Buenos Aires is exactly what's going on here. And the victims right now, the ones to whom most of the violence is directed, is ICE. By the way, I didn't even get to, I mean, these illegal immigrant groups are off the chain. Joined teaming with leftists. I'm going to get into this in the next segment. They're all over the place shutting down ICE facilities with their bodies. Sound like a civil war to you, at least the kind they have in Central America, Buenos Aires, places like that? Darn skippy it is. And in those civil wars, factions within the parliament, the Congress, whatever form of government they have their own armed guerrilla groups, have their own armed juntas. I would argue the Democrat Party fits that description exactly. They have their own armed paramilitary group that carried out, a member of whom carried out a terror attack this past weekend. And no one cares, and they're refusing to condemn it because that's their armed wing. Of course they won't condemn it.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Let's check the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. Texter writes, we are in a civil Cold War. I think we're going to, like I said, increasingly see terror attacks on our soil by left-wing paramilitary groups. I mean, folks, they're even using the language of a terror group. Antifa just praised its first martyr online after the attack on the ICE detention facility and called for more. How is this going on in our country? And you can't even get the Republican leadership to condemn it yesterday. I mean, Democrats, not one of them that has anything to say. They won't denounce it. And they're not going to pay a price for it unless the Republicans make them. And the Republicans are apparently fine with it. Okay, we'll have open borders. Just don't hurt us. So yesterday, we had members of the Border Patrol take to television to beg, please, condemn the rhetoric, condemn the terror attacks against us. You are going to get people killed. This is Border Patrol Union Chief Brandon Judd talking about how AOC and the media are directly driving the violence, the terror attacks, and now Antifa claiming their first martyr.
We have an unprecedented number of law enforcement officers throughout the nation that are being attacked, ambushed, and it's simply because of all of this rhetoric that is against law enforcement and the empowerment that these people feel that they can go after them. Mm-hmm. If we don't get control of this, we're going to have less and less people that are going to be willing to join the ranks of law enforcement, and without law enforcement, we just don't have the rule of law, and we go back to the violence that we'll see in the streets. Right. We just can't have that.
Yeah.
And then Border Patrol Union Chief Brandon Judd asked a pretty profound question. This Antifa terrorist, who is now being called the first martyr, their first martyr by Antifa, who attempted to execute when he wasn't able to get anybody from the ICE building, so it was intent. He'd firebombed the parking lot. He wanted them to come out so he could kill them. Instead, the police showed up and he opened fire on them. He points out, this is an attack on a government facility by a group that wants to bring down the government. What does it say that AOC, the Democrat leadership, not a single Democrat presidential candidate will condemn it? And I got to be fair, the GOP leadership hasn't either.
Antifa is a very bad organization. They are an organization that wants to bring down our government. And for Ocasio-Cortez to have the opportunity to condemn them and then not do it, that shows you everything that you need to know about her.
Yeah, won't condemn it. And so, you know, when she's standing there with fake tears in her eyes, oh, I care so much. Well, you only care if people on your side that are perceived to be on your side get hurt a little. If people on the other side get killed, you're A-okay with it. This was not how we were in America. Folks, the ethic in America, even 10 years ago, is we don't like radicalism on either side. We don't want violence on either side. That's gone. I'll let Border Patrol Chief Brandon Judd wrap up with this.
Our job is to enforce the laws that Congress passed. She's a member of Congress. She passes these laws. If she passes laws, it's our job to enforce those laws. Yet she's acting out against that, which you have to say, what is the reasoning? And strictly speaking, it's because you have to believe that she also wants to bring down the government as we know it, and she wants to move it to the far left.
And she's willing to use violence to do it. You can't come to any other conclusion. I never thought I'd see this in America. I never did. I should be a slam dunk for the Republicans. And they won't. They wouldn't. I was waiting for them to condemn this. Oh, by the way, they knew about it, too, that AOC and Ilhan Omar had refused to condemn the terror attack because the RNC sent out talking points about it. Yet when it came to stand in front of the microphone in front of the country, they could not bring themselves, the leadership, to condemn the attack. It's or to condemn the Democrats for refusing to condemn it when their own words caused it and were cited by the terrorist. I'm speechless this morning. I'm speechless.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.